Well, there's not one of us who hasn't been in a storm, and we sure do appreciate as a Christian that we do have a haven of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many struggle with I've got the word overthinking, over worry. Anybody got that? Man, the end of furlough always gets me. It always gets me. And last night I struggled. The last few nights I've struggled. Matter of fact, the last week or so I've struggled to go to sleep. You know, you're so tired, you lay down. Okay, no, start thinking. Last night I got heartburn thinking about it. Finally got up and sat in the other room and sat there until about midnight and finally cooled off and was able to knock off by that time. What's the problem? This has nothing to do with the message, but it has to do with that song. You know, what a blessing that we get guidance in God's Word, that we can cast all our care upon Him. 5 years ago, I was in a missions conference, and one of our favorite churches to go to, Sequoia Baptist Church in Visalia, California. Brother Robert Benefield started that church nearly 50 years ago now. Recently turned it over, dementia, these type of things. And we were there 5 years ago, and we saw the signs of it coming. And he had us different missionaries preach different times throughout the conference, and there was an older missionary from Argentina, no, Chile, that was there. And he stood up to preach that night, and he preached out of the book of, what was it, James, where it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And that night, while he was preaching, man, I just got heavy because I had been struggling. I wanted to get back to New Guinea so bad, but COVID had just shut everything down. We couldn't find tickets. We were given a couple side-by-sides, and now they're saying we couldn't send them because we didn't have titles. But you don't get a title for a side-by-side. And so now what do? Photoshop. That's what you do. No. And many other things. Well, that night in the conference, I took one of their little tithing envelopes, and I began to write down all my worries. I began to write them down. And I put tickets, shipping, titles, buildings, solar, land, taxes, contracts, prayer letters, you know, all these things. I wrote all these things down. I went to the altar that night, and I threw it on the altar. I cast it. I'm going to do this literally. Cast it on the altar. But obviously, I picked it up again, right? But I cast it on there. And that was on, I think it was on Sunday, October 25. Well, on Tuesday, I got a phone call from our travel agent. We had to get a travel agent. Couldn't book them on Expedia at that time. Got a call and said, Jason, I found you tickets. They're really expensive, but I got you. Don't worry, just get us on the plane. And we got tickets. That same day, the shipping company called and said, we've got a date. We can ship your container. I think the next day, I got answers about those titles. I mean, it was all those prayers. I got all these ticks. Just because I cast them down. I'm so thankful that we have a harbor that we can go to when we're worried, in trouble, and we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ because He's our intercessor. If we would just give it to Him, He said He'll take it. I'm preaching to myself here. Jason, give it again. All these troubles and worries, give it away. Amen. Would you find with me in your Bible the book of Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to reference Luke 24. And we're going to spend some time in Acts chapter 10 is really where our message is going to come from. I so appreciate the honor to be able to stand up and preach again tonight. That wasn't the original plan, but your pastor sensed direction, discerned some leading to let me speak again tonight, and I appreciate that as well. Acts chapter 1, Luke 24. Is everything clear in the Christian life, or are some things a little bit confusing? Everything clear, or many times confusing? What would you say? Confusing. Tonight I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Confusing Commission. A Confusing Commission. Let's stand together again. There are two reasons we might... No, just kidding. Said that this morning. Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter number 1. In Luke 24, our Lord has been crucified. He has risen from the dead, and he's been moving around this way and that way. He's appeared himself to his disciples in different times. In Luke chapter 24, the disciples are in the upper room. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse 36 of Luke 24, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now again, context is always necessary around the text. He just walked through the wall. If someone walked through the wall right now, you would be a little frightened. And so Jesus sees his disciples, he says, peace be unto you. Almost like that, well, just like the time he's walking on the water, and they thought he was a spirit. And he wasn't a spirit. They're confused. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Good Baptist right there, doctrine right at the beginning of the church here. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. Just make sure it's not cod, okay? No cod. Gave him some broiled fish. And thankfully, there's some honeycomb attached to that. And he took it and did eat before them, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, all those things are written, but have you found all those things in the Psalms and the prophets, and have you referenced them to the Lord? I mean, today we can do that looking back, and many of those things seem obvious, but back in the day, they were not that obvious. But he made them clear. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus, or for this reason it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead and the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You're with me in Acts chapter number 1, a continuation of Luke 24, Acts chapter 1 and line number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Did they understand that? They did not understand that. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And here's our verse here. But ye shall receive power. It's going to happen. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In our text, they were expecting in this triumphant hour that they would become, as it were, kings and priests. They expected that they would rule and reign with him now. But it would not be so, not yet. He said, you're simply going to be a witness. Father, I pray that you help me tonight as I minister to your people. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you've given me. Lord, some clarity and some peace of mind that I do not have to understand everything. I just need to obey. Amen. And Lord, may tonight you convince your people as, Lord, you give them instructions that may seem confusing to trust you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So he tells them in our text that there's a work to be done. He says, you're going to be witnesses of this triumph over sin, over death, over hell and the grave. You're going to be witnesses of these things. You're going to go out and tell the story. Remember, a witness is someone who can tell a story about what they've seen or what they have experienced. If you've not experienced or you've not seen or heard something, you cannot be a true witness of those things. But he says, ye are witnesses. You know these things. He tells them in our text that you're going to be witnesses and it's going to start in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place right where they are. It will continue in Judea. That's the place where they're from. It will go through Samaria, as we spoke about this morning. And when he said Samaria, I think it was a little hard for them to get. I know they had been to Samaria, and they saw the multitude come, and they had seen him say, "Lift up your eyes on the field, for the fields are white already to harvest." And they got that, but still to go to those Samaritans was going to be a little tough to handle. But he said, "It will finish. This message will finish when it has gone to the uttermost part of the earth." And there's no doubt what that meant. That meant to the Gentile world. This great commission that the Lord has given them, it is a confusing commission in their text, in their context, at their time. But I still think today in our day that we get confused about what the Lord wants us to do. There's so many things to do, so many things that can be done. But I believe this, that God has ordained every one of us, no matter if we're small or big, whether we're young or whether we're old, God has given all of us a work to do, and He will tell you or He has told you what that work is to do. The church is fitly framed together. There's not one part of ministry that is left undone. God will supply the need for the church. If there's any need unmet, it's because someone has not answered the call to meet that need. Can I hear an amen right there? At one time, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 10, he says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Jesus said that. And so now he's saying, go to these people. In Mark chapter 16, he said, "Go ye into all the world." But at one time, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." They remember those words. He says, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In Matthew chapter 15, a wonderful story about the woman of Cana, how she came to the Lord so humble, so needy, begging help for her daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. But the Bible tells us that he answered her not a word. That's tough cookies right there. And then, of course, we've got those disciples again besought him, "Hey, get rid of this woman. She's bothering us. We came out here to rest and to recuperate, and now she's here bothering us." And again he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But how precious it was when she came and worshipped him and said, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Woo! And yet she so humbly said, "Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table." No doubt a sweet lesson that the Lord was teaching his disciples. Skip ahead, if you would, to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter 10. By the time we get to Acts chapter 10, the disciples, the apostles, have been endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit has rested upon them in Acts chapter 2. When they preach, thousands are getting saved. But who are these people that are getting saved in Acts chapter 2? They are Jews from all over the world that have come to Jerusalem. In Acts 2, we get the description. There are Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, all these people. And they said this, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." In Acts chapter 3, there's a Jewish man that's sitting at the temple. And he's there sitting at the gate and asking for alms. And while he's asking for alms, he held out his palms. And he looked at Peter and John and said, "Can you help me out?" And of course, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He went Baptist-costal right there. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Do you know the song? "Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And when this guy got up and walked, people were amazed. They were, what's happening over here? And of course, that spread around in Acts chapter 4 as a result of that. There were about 5,000 more Jews that got saved. In chapter number 5 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes." But who are these multitudes? These are Jewish multitudes. They indeed are going to Jerusalem and Judea. In chapter 6, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Even priests were getting saved. In chapter 7, we see Stephen's preaching to Jews and who eventually stoned him for preaching. And in chapter 7, we finally get introduced to this new character named Saul. Chapter 8, the persecution is so great that now the disciples spread throughout Judea, and the Bible says even Samaria. In chapter 8, we see Philip preaching in Samaria, and many people are getting born again, and even the Holy Spirit moves Philip from Samaria. He says, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is desert, which is just confusing because Gaza is a what? It's a desert. Nobody lives in the desert. What are we going down to the desert? But there's one person that God says there's one person there that's going back home, and you got to meet that person. And he went down there and found a man riding in his chariot, Ford Ranger or something like that. And he was reading the book of Isaiah. And I don't know how this all happened. Hey, do you know what you're reading? I don't know if he's running and doing that or stop in the name of love or whatever happened here, but he's able to talk to him. And he says, do you understand? He says, how can I except some man should guide me? And he got in and showed him. He said, oh, no, this is talking about Jesus. Remember, the guy says, is this a prophet or some other person? He's confused. And he needed a preacher to unconfuse him and explain to him, no, this is the Lord Jesus right here. In Acts chapter 9, we see Saul get saved, and he gets baptized and begins preaching again to Jews. But a strange thing happens in chapter 10. I want you to notice it. In chapter 10, we're introduced to a Gentile. He's the main character of the book, of this chapter rather. His name is Cornelius. The Bible says there was a certain man in verse number 1 in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Okay, if you're a young person, there are no instruments involved, okay? This is just a group of guys. A devout man. And one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. The Bible says in verse number 3 that this fellow saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. We don't know what these guys sounded like. We'll just make it up as we go. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I mean, you should be afraid if you see an angel. I mean, these guys are terrified. And what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Wow. So we've got Cornelius here. Cornelius is a good man by the world standard. Cornelius is a religious man. He seems to be seeking God. He prays to God always. But the problem is Cornelius, as a good man, as a religious man, as a lost man. He does not know the way of eternal life. He does not know the way to God. He prays to God always. He's seeking God. But those prayers can't save him. His righteousness can't save him. But he's lost. He doesn't even know how. So God gives him a little special revelation here in this vision. And he gives him some instruction. This is what you're going to do. You're going to send people. You're going to send men to Joppa. All right. I'm going to need some help again. Can I get, let's see, I need someone that looks like a Jew. Anybody here look like a brother? You're perfect. Would you be willing to help me? Come on up here, brother. Okay. Not a Jew, a Gentile. Forgive me. Not a Jew, a Gentile. All right, you're going to be a Gentile, and I want you to stand on this side over here. Gentile, you look like a Jew. Anyways, I already pointed at you. Here we go. You're going to be this Gentile. What's his name? What's his name? Cornelius, and he's a what? Gentile. Okay, we got Cornelius, a Gentile. But Cornelius, God gave him instructions. This angel gave him instructions. He said, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. All right, so we got to find some people. You two guys right there, we spoke earlier, is that right? All right, I need one more fellow. Who can also help here? We got two teenage boys here. Anybody else willing to give me a hand? Get another teenage boy? Let's see. Brother, you want to help me? Perfect. You come on up. You come on up. That'll be perfect. You'll get in next, okay? Okay. Come on over here, guys. You're going to stand with your boss. Stand back here just a little bit more. Okay. Now, what type of people are going to go here? Does the Bible tell us? Let's see. We got here in verse number 7, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So we've got two servants, and why don't you stand behind these fellows. and a soldier. What's the soldier for? So make sure these guys do the job right. We should have got you a weapon. Any weapons around here? Okay. So we got Cornelius, he's the boss. We got two servants and a what? Two servants and a? Okay, we're going to get this. We got Cornelius, he's the what? He's the boss, and he's got two servants and a soldier. Okay. And he's given them instructions. Does Cornelius understand this instruction yet? Does he understand the end of the story? He doesn't have a clue what's happening here. All he's got is this vision. And we don't have any record that this has happened before. This is like a new thing for him. But it seems clear enough to where he's got the two servants and he's got a soldier. And the instruction is you're going to send these fellows. You're going to go to a place called Joppa. Do you know where Joppa is? They have no idea where Joppa is. But they're going to go to Joppa and they're going to look for someone. What's his name? What's his name? Simon, whose surname is? We better get a Simon Peter around here. Who wants to help me be Simon? You got to look like a Jew, okay? I'm going to use you guys in just a minute. Any adult here? Let me get a big person. Volunteer, voluntold, brother. Come on up. You're the man. Okay. All right. Hey, he's a preacher. Here we go. All right, so we got Peter over here. And Peter is minding his own business. Let's see. Can we take that chair off? Set that chair over here so people... Oh, that was easy enough. You just sit up here so everybody can see you. Okay. All right, here we go. Verse number 8. Are you there with me? Amen? Okay. And on verse number 9, by the way, verse 8 says, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay, guys, he told you what to do, now take off. But don't take off too fast because it'll make the message too short. You make sure they go. Okay, stop right there. You're halfway there. Okay? Now the message is going to continue. Verse number 9. On the morrow, what's that mean? The next day. All right. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. All right. He went upon the housetop to pray. What time of day did he do that? What's it say? The sixth hour of the day. What time of the day is that? What time? At 12 o'clock. So 6 a.m. Count up 6 hours. That's 12 noon. So he went up to the housetop to do something very spiritual. Is that right? What was that thing very spiritual to do? To pray. But the problem is, this is the wrong time to be spiritual. What time of the day is it? You don't even know how, you don't even need a clock. Most of us know what time 12 o'clock noon is. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to be Crocodile Dundee and look at, it's about 12 o'clock. No, you know it. Yep. So he goes up to be very spiritual, but then he gets very carnal. What happens? The Bible tells us what happens in verse number 10. He became very what? Well, there you go. See? Lesson be learned. Don't go up to pray at 12. So he goes up. He's very hungry. And he would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a what? Coma. Diabetic coma is happening right here. He didn't eat in time. And ladies didn't get it ready in time. You know, everybody knows 12 o'clock is the time, and it wasn't ready yet. So he just knocks off. Okay, he's in a coma here. And there's a couple things about this, as this is humorous indeed. It is sad that some people, myself included, do not hear clearly except for when we're asleep. How many ever get like some clarity while you're sleeping? Dreaming? Anybody? Am I the only one? The Bible says a dream cometh about by the multitude of business. I'm not saying you should trust in your dreams. I'm just saying sometimes things kind of work out. I wake up, okay, I got the idea. This is how we're going to do it. And so, unfortunately, he needs a dream to properly listen. This is not a spiritual trait. If you look through Scripture, people that needed dreams, it's not a spiritual trait. You know, in our Pentecostal friends, many times they elevate dreams. But that's a carnal thing. That just means you weren't willing to listen while you got your full sense. Can I hear an amen here? And so he's in his trance, and something happens here. He saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. What was it? Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Did that sound godly? I was trying to sound heavenly, okay? So rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter's got a problem here. He's always doing this to the Lord. He says, not so, Lord, disagreeable. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done how many times? Isn't this typical of Peter? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? All these things, you know, three times, denying the Lord. And so this happens three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And now the Bible says, and while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius, here we go, okay, had made inquiry, stop right there, for Simon's house. Hey, does knock at the door. Does Simon live here? Yes, Simon lives here. Okay, perfect. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodger. Hey, is Simon surnamed Peter? Does he stay here? Yeah, he stays here. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Oh, three men are seeking me. What are they doing looking for me like this? And the men which were sent, we got the guy here. While Peter thought on the vision, verse 19, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, verse 20. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. All right, so you two servants here, you're going to lead the way. He doesn't know where he's going. All right, you get behind these guys here, and the soldier's there to make sure you follow. You just kick him if you need to kick him. All right, so you're going to lead them this way over to the boss's house. Oh, brother. Oh, you didn't even know who this guy was. Here we go. Now we got it. So he leads them over here. Where are we at? In verse number 27, we're going to get there. So the instruction was simple. Arise, he knows how to do that. Get thee down, he knows how to do that. Go with them, leave your comfort zone, doubting nothing. I know you're confused, but I've sent them. This is all confusing information. But my friend, again, we don't have to understand the information to obey the information when you know the information came from the right source. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So the servants and the soldiers, they don't understand the order. Simon doesn't really understand the order. All they know is that Simon Peter, who lives with Simon the Tanner, who lives in Joppa, has words that they're supposed to hear. When Peter now meets Cornelius, he finds a room. Let's do it like this. Why don't you stand down here, Cornelius? Just so we can not have to get all these people up here. So he comes to meet Cornelius, and the Bible says he finds a room, what? Full. Let's see where we're at in our Bible here. Verse number, let's see. Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius is a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report. He's called for you there. We got that one. Verse number 27, that's it. And as he talked with him, he went in, and he found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how it is, this is Peter, ye know that how it is unlawful for, you're talking to him, okay, so you just do like this one, okay. You know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Where did he learn that? He learned that over here. When he was in that diabetic coma thing going on over here. And he's listening and God gave him a lesson. And then God spoke again and says, hey, don't doubt what I'm saying. I know you don't understand, but just go with these guys. And the Bible tells us here that he found many that were come together. At this stage, Peter's uncomfortable. Peter's uncomfortable because he's never been in the presence of so many Gentiles. Except that time when they were about to crucify the Lord. But then there were still Jews around there. He's never done this. This guy, he knows he has a need. He knows that he's lost. He wants to be saved, but he can't be saved unless a human tells him. The angel, if you notice in our story, the angel could not tell him how to be saved. God didn't give that to him, he gave that to us. And so God, in a sense, is forced to use people. And this person over here, Peter, he is a loudmouth. He has words to say. But he's got a prejudice. He's got prejudicial attitude about some people. And he finds it difficult to go there. He would never go there except God gave him clarity over here. And so now he's here and he's feeling uncomfortable. He said, boy, what am I doing? Cornelius reminds him of what happened, and he tells him in verse number 3, immediately therefore, he says, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. And look up here for a moment. I don't know if I can do this with my jacket anymore. I think Cornelius kind of went like this. He says, now therefore, are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? He says, we're here. I don't know why you're here. I don't know what you have to tell me, but go ahead. You get what I'm saying? Brother, let me tell you, I've been in situations like this in villages where someone in the village, they know the Lord. And they want their relatives, they want their village people to know the Lord. And so they'll invite me there to their home. They didn't tell everybody why. He didn't tell everybody why he invited them to his house, but now I show up. And he says, okay, missionary, we're all here. Go ahead. First time that happened was in 1994. Brother John Gray had gotten sick, and Sister Mary had to take him to the hospital in Port Moresby. Now, I'm 18 years old. I'm a visitor, and they're going to leave me in Karama by myself, okay? There's a national pastor there who's now with the Lord, but he took me out soul winning. He took me to a house, and there was people there. He says, okay, go ahead. Man, I don't know what to do here. But this seriously happens regularly. When we go soul winning as a church family, first Saturday of the month, we go soul winning. Second Saturday of the month, we go on visitation. We go chase up those ones that didn't come. Third Saturday of the month is our family day. I tell people, don't come to church. You just go do something together as a family. The fourth Saturday is our work parade day where the church comes together and cleans up. Anyways, we go soul winning, and we try to cover our whole island every year, every house, every place, every year. We'll go to a yard, and we don't really go door knocking. People don't live in their house. They just live, they sleep in their house, and they live outside, basically. And we'll get there, and no matter if, I mean, they don't know the Lord, but they say, oh, the missionary's here, or these Christians are here. And they will provide a bucket or something to sit on, and they'll have me sit on that. And then they'll call everybody in the house to come and sit and listen. Now, does everybody get saved? No, they don't get saved every time. There's still that blindness that's there. But I'm saying the openness is there. The opportunity is there. We've been soul winning here in America. My wife knocked on a guy's door and offered him a gospel tract. He was very interested. I mean, he was curious what it was. And she began to talk to him about the Lord, she could tell blank. And she said, do you know who Jesus Christ is? No. Who is he? He thought he was like some baseball player or something like that. This is in America. Blew our minds. What in the world? My point is, there are opportunities out there. There are people out there that will listen if we'll go. They may not have had the vision like Cornelius, and they call, Hey, Pastor Hoots, God told me to call you and have someone come over and tell us what you're supposed to tell us. You may not get that. You might get that, but not very often. But if you go to their house, you just might find that. So Cornelius says, okay, Peter, we're here. What do you have to share? The Bible tells us in verse number 34. Are you with me there? Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive means I now understand that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say to you, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Hey, him God raised up from the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, hey, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I think Peter was getting enlightened here a little bit. I think he was like, oh, that's what he was saying way back there in the upper room. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Brethren, ministry is not complicated, but sometimes it is confusing. We have a world in need. And sometimes I think the Holy Ghost is speaking, he's calling, and we're confused. We're not getting it. We don't understand what he's saying, so we dismiss it. I just want to challenge you tonight. You may be confused in the commission, and that's okay. You just need to answer the call. Amen. You may be confused about this week's Saturday. I'm so excited about this. That's okay. You just need to answer the call. Amen. Those people that I can reach with my personality and who I am, and there's other people I'll never be able to reach because of my personality and who I am. But you can. You can. God's going to use every one of you. We say this saying at our churches in P&G, we say this, we are saved to serve, not to sit. We're not saved to sit, we are saved to serve. We say this, every member, a minister. I believe the goal of your pastor is that every one of you would learn how to minister. What's that mean? You're able to be witnesses. He's not challenging you to say something you don't know anything about. Backstory. When I was around 13, early 14, our youth pastor at the time, where I met my wife, asked all of us teenagers, he goes, all of you are going to get a chance to be able to share a lesson. Now, I'm a talkative person, and I can say things that I can talk about things I don't really know anything about, but I try not to do that anymore, you know. So I was given an opportunity to speak, and I didn't know what to say. So I told my mom, remember, I'm 13, I am lost. And my mom says, well, just talk about what you know. Talk about salvation. I'm not even saved. And that would be difficult to talk about salvation if you've not experienced salvation. Today we had the joy of having dinner at Brother Jason's house. And this brother was there, and his wife was there. And I began asking people, tell me, are you saved? When did you get saved? And that we're all sharing our testimonies around. Well, that's wonderful to hear the story. You know, all the stories were different, and yet at the same time, all the same. They all ended up in the same place. We didn't start the same, but we ended up the same. And I bet you if I sat down with each and every one of you, we'd start off maybe a different place, but we'd all end up at the same place. We all went to the cross. Amen? So when you go out on Saturday to witness or to pass out tracts, it's going to take courage because this is different. But it's something you can do. Peter is talking to Cornelius, and he's preached the gospel to him. Verse number 44, while Peter yet spake the words, 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. I mean, there were six fellows that came with Peter. When Peter came, he had six others with him. They did not go believing. They went like, what are we doing? If this word gets back to headquarters, we're going to be in trouble. And they went. And they of the circumcision, the Jews which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. man, Peter's in big trouble now. He's with these Gentiles. And he not only is in the house talking with them, now he's going to stay with them. Big trouble. Guys, you can be seated. Thank you. I appreciate that. I better get this paper, otherwise I have to print it again. Brethren, sometimes the things the Lord asks us to do, we don't understand. But we just need to listen and obey, even though we don't understand. David has been anointed to be king. And he is king. But every time he goes out to fight the Lord's battle, he inquires of the Lord, "Shall I go out?" And several times the Lord says, "Yes, go." But there are times that the Lord says, "Don't go." Wait a minute. Don't you want me to fight this battle? No, not right now. There's one particular time I love in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. God tells him a military plan. He says this, "You guys are going to go hide behind the mulberry trees." That's not how you fight. No, you're going to go hide behind the mulberry trees. You're going to sit there and wait. And when you see the wind go over those trees, he says, "Know that I've gone before you." Amen. Brethren, that's confusing to an army man. That's not how you do it. But that's what the Lord does. I think about the time in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when a choir led the army. That's not how you do it. When I was my senior year in high school, Pastor Fisher, unannounced, of course, did a 40-day fast. And we'd see, you know, I was just obviously a senior in high school, but I'd see Pastor Fisher walk on the property, and he has these long arms, okay? If there's anybody related to Gorilla, he'd be like in the runner-up. He's got these long arms and long fingers, and they like hang down by his knees, you know. And I'd see him walking, and while he's walking, Pastor Hoots, his mouth is moving. And all of us teenagers, we saw the weight losing. We had no idea, really, about fasting at the time, but we just watched him, and he'd just be mumbling, trying to get instruction, trying to get a word. I want you to notice one more text, if I can lead you there, chapter 11. In chapter 11, the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Contended meaning questioned him. Argued, "What are you doing? We heard that you went into men uncircumcised and did you ate with them. What are you doing?" I want you to notice verse number 12. And this is where this message came from. Verse number 12. Verse 11, "And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me," verse number 12, "and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting." Wow. Why am I in Papua New Guinea? I don't know why God chose me to go there. You know what I'm saying? But the Spirit bade me go. Why is Pastor Hoots here and not in Mississippi or Louisiana? I don't know, but the Spirit bade me go. Amen. Brethren, that's the answer. These people in Papua New Guinea, these expats, these business people who question me and say, "What are you doing here?" And I try to explain the call of God. No idea. Cannot understand that. It's a confusing commission. I just want to comfort your hearts tonight. If you're getting a word from the Lord and you don't understand what's going on, come see your pastor and say, "Preacher, man, this is going on. Missions conference is coming next month. There's going to be some great preaching. There's going to be challenges. And if I know the Holy Spirit, He's going to work in the hearts of some of you to give like you've never given. And this church is amazing. But there may be an increase that the Lord is asking you to do. And husband, you may speak to the wife and say, "I feel like God wants me to do this." And she says, "I don't know if we can do that." Well, I don't know if we can do that either. Amen. The Spirit bade me get in touch with that Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Teenager, God may put on your heart to do something you've never done before. There may be a missions trip that God will ask you to go to. I've had pastors that come to visit us, a few. And I was walking, we were walking through town down to the market one time, and of course we're surrounded by nationals. Some don't look friendly, some do look friendly, but none of them look like us. Do you know what I'm saying? And I could sense this guy was really uncomfortable. He says, "Brother, how do you do it?" Do what? It's confusing. But when the Lord gives it to you, He'll make it clear. He'll make it clear. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege to preach to your people. I pray, Lord, that you would calm the hearts of your people, Lord, as you speak. May you give them the words that Peter gave, those that questioned him. The Spirit bade me. I don't know why. I would not have done that on my own. But Cornelius is saved. His household is saved. I don't even know how that happens. Lord, thank you for loving us enough to allow us to enjoin, to be a part of your ministry, to be a part of your work in the going, the giving, the praying, all of it. Bless your people as we consider what you'd have us do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The pianist is here.